Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by banging these bongos.
Crazy.
Hello and welcome to episode 142 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. And here we are as this episode is released just a couple of days before summer 2021 ends. And I think you'll all agree we're ending this summer in a much more positive space than we was when we started it, that's for sure. Onwards and upwards, right? But anyway, back to this week's episode. Firstly, as ever, thank you to all our Patreon supporters, without whom we wouldn't be able to produce this podcast. So, hats off guys, thank you very much. Today's guest is a crafter, Stevie Georgina. On Instagram, she goes by the name Stevie by the Sea. If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you'll be aware that I'm all for the arts crossing over into craft and vice versa. Well, I've known Stevie for a little while now, thanks to this podcast. And we've had a few arty chats over on Zoom, where Stevie has said that she wants to re-enter the art world, but she's made herself such a good name and amassed quite a following on Instagram and YouTube, focusing on her chosen craft, which is crochet, and she's concerned that her followers and supporters may not want to join her on that journey. So not only does Stevie inform us of her vulnerability about stepping from one world into the other, which I'm sure a lot of us can relate to, but she also tells us about her prior journey, about how she became hooked on crochet, in the first place, which was something quite traumatising, the impact of which I've just ruined with laughing at myself about saying hooked on crochet. But it was quite a severe mental health episode that resulted in her having to be sectioned. But she's come through the other side now and pretty much using crochet as a vehicle for stability, and going on to be quite a sought-after designer in that arena. Pretty cool how things come around, right? Now, obviously, because of Stevie's journey, we're going to be touching on the darker sides of mental health in this episode. So if that's a journey you've been on yourself in the past, this episode could inadvertently make you rediscover things that you've worked hard to try to push one side. So this episode may not be for you. On the flip side to that, Stevie is probably one of the most fun and bubbly characters you're ever likely to meet. So please, come and join me over Zoom as I speak to Stevie Georgina. As I said, it's being recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what have you been up to?
Well, I think just gradually I've been doing more and more, like, started doing a lot of drawing and started a painting, like I said. Not got much paint on it yet, but it was funny because after I spoke to you, I ended up going through, like, I had loads of notebooks from, like, before I was unwell and stuff.
Yeah.
And I went through them and I was kind of like, oh, there's all this stuff that I kind of have forgotten about, and I can't, and some of it I haven't really been able to talk about.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know, it just gave me so many ideas for like a painting. And now I've got like loads of, well, my plan is to make loads, like make one big painting, because I've always kind of struggled with the idea of, oh, that's what I'm doing and that's the end of it. I don't have many commitments, to be honest. So I was like, while I've got this time, I think for a while I was kind of trying to do the crochet thing and make money off of it, and it was just stressing me out. Yeah. It was just, it was funny because my therapist, just before I spoke to you, said to me, he was like, I think you need to be really careful with what you do with this crochet. Because he said, if you're going to, because I think for me, it was like the thing that has really helped me not become psychotic again, you know. Yeah. It stops me getting like to that manic point. So I guess I've just like started doing it again as a hobby, which it was in the first place.
Yeah.
And thinking about maybe further ahead what I'd like to do. And I don't think it's crochet, because it's just, I mean, I was just getting stressed out with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the people just constantly like messaging you being so rude. Like,
so rude.
Yeah, like people will say, why is this pattern not up? It's taking you ages to finish this pattern. And I'm just like, I can't, even though it's like not all the time.
Yeah.
It still is getting to the point where I'm going online and I wasn't enjoying it anymore. Like, just because of, you know, like every time somebody would say something rude to me, it would ruin my mood the entire day. And I'd be like, I can't do this. Like, you know, it's all right without the pressure, but I think I'm still in a place where I realize that I need to just do what I enjoy rather than constantly like check, because to be honest, we live in Norfolk, it's pretty cheap to live here, so it's not like I desperately need to go out and get a job and earn a load of money, because Chris is, you know, what Chris makes kind of covers everything.
So
I think I've just kind of gone back into doing something I enjoy, and I feel like doing the painting or like and drawing it all out has brought me back into a place where I'm really like, I'm so excited in the morning to go and work on it, and yeah, it feels good.
Could you not bring the crochet into art?
I think at some point I'd love to do that. I started,
because you've got a lot of followers, haven't you, on Instagram? And
yeah,
would I be correct in saying that the followers are from the crochet world?
Yeah, I think a lot of them are. I think that's something that has stayed in my mind, because it's like I don't want to go too far away from what I'm doing. But yeah, it is a tricky one, because I keep thinking about the whole Instagram thing. There's like this little voice in the back of my head saying, you better carry on, because, you know, you don't want to lose all that. Because it was, I guess, a lot of work to get to that point as well. But
I mean, you were saying about having to put patterns up. Was that part of something where you was getting an income from it? Was you charging people for that?
No, I literally was just putting them on YouTube and then hoping that eventually I got enough views and watch hours to put, like, to monetize it. But to be honest, I think even to monetize videos, like, it's not particularly, you know, it's not a very stable income. I know some people that say they don't have like a huge channel, but they make a bit of money, and then other people say, you know, you get nothing from it. So it's just, I kind of feel like I've been working towards this thing, and then I've kind of got a bit close, and I'm like, ooh. And also, I was getting offered sponsorships, but the sponsorships I was getting offered were like nothing to do with crochet. It was like advertised bar of chocolate. And I was like, I don't, it doesn't align with like what I want and believe in, because I don't want to be an advert. I don't want to be a walking advert. And
yeah, well, the other side of that, the chocolate people, for instance, don't give a monkey's who, like, because everyone eats chocolate. So from their side of it, they don't care, do they? But for you, what's it got to do with you?
Yeah, like, it's funny, because I could see how I could, like, say, here's me crocheting and eating some chocolate. I don't want to do that. Like, I'd rather go without and I'm in a position where I'm lucky that, you know, I've got Chris. He's my... But yeah, it's just a weird one. I think at the moment, I just thought, okay, I'm just going to concentrate on doing what I want to do rather than feeling the pressure. But yeah, I think I was actually going to do some like sort of collaging with crochet. And then the more I looked online and like to see who was like doing that kind of stuff. And I didn't feel like excited to see it. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I wasn't getting that sort of, oh yeah, I really want to do that.
Excuse me. Well, I would say that if you want to do the art thing, I think you should either still do some of the crochet as a, maybe turn it around so that that's the hobby, 70-30 or something, to keep your Instagram followers. Because it takes such a long time to get a hold of them, and, you know, you can lose them so quickly, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just try and find a way to incorporate them.
It's hard, though, because I feel like I've kind of got to a point where I don't enjoy Instagram at the moment. Like, it was just becoming like really stressful, and even checking the comments, and I just felt it was stressing me out. And
yeah,
it's hard because, like I said, I have like worked quite hard to get to that point. But then it's so tricky because part of me has actually been thinking about, even though I said when I last spoke, I was like, I'm never going to uni ever. But I thought maybe I could go to uni and do something and like get a you know, work towards a job. Like, I don't know. I just feel kind of a weird thing where I'm like, oh, I could do that. I could do this.
Oh, I think what's happened is where you've been concentrating on the crochet for so long and working to build it up to a place. Now you've got bored with it because you've sort of put so much time into the crochet and put everything else in your life to one side. Now you've sort of, you know, you've put yourself on a little bit of island, and now you've jumped off the island. You've got nowhere to sort of swim to, you know?
Yeah, I think the other thing is I think I'd like to carry the crochet on in like the real world. So I don't mind, like, I've been talking to Chris about maybe like volunteering where he works, like, and doing some lessons there so I can kind of get the
art therapy sort of thing.
Yeah, it would be a good sort of thing to try out to see, oh, is that a direction I'd like to go in?
Yeah.
Because then, you know, I'm not particularly going to be committed to something, but, you know, for loads of hours. It's just trying it out. So I've thought about that because I think, I don't know, the online world is just making me feel a bit like, I feel like it was part of the reason I got unwell in the first place. And I don't want to put myself in that position where it's stressing me out.
Yeah. Well, as far as Instagram's concerned, but I would say that if you came away from the craft side, how many do you reckon you'd lose? 4,000? Well, they probably wouldn't stop following you. They just wouldn't interact so much.
I think I've already kind of pulled myself away from people so much because I turned up all the comments. And once you do that, no, it don't show stuff to anyone. I mean, when I used to post stuff, it would get like thousands of likes. Now I've turned them off, but turned the comments off, like, it's 300. So it's kind of, I think I was just sick of playing this. It felt like I was playing some sort of weird game where I couldn't get out of it, you know, like, oh, better, I've got a comment on this. And I think I'm one of these people that if I'm doing something, I go like all in. And then I find it hard to balance it out. So I really think that this is a good way of like seeing if I can do that. Can I still keep that and still post, you know, the crochet stuff every now and then? And like then maybe include a bit more of my life. Because I think also some people have found me on YouTube and have come over from YouTube. And then they prefer the YouTube videos to the Instagram stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, then it's so, all just for courses, isn't it?
So I think I really just need to get way better at putting time into different places rather than chucking everything into one thing.
Yeah. So how much artwork have you done at the moment? Have you completed any?
No. I think I'm going to be the slowest person ever, just like I am with crochet. I've been like, so I drew out like a kind of the start of it on a bit of board, and then I've been like slowly going, it's almost like I'm doing a paint by numbers. I feel like I have to have that like childlike to everything I do, keep me there. And then I've been like using like acrylic paint like marker things to go over the lines that I'm like, yeah, I'm happy with that there. And I'm just gradually building it up. And I think because I'm doing it, so where I am still doing crochet, but not so much posting what I'm doing, I kind of go between them and it feels, it just feels a bit nicer than,
Well, you're contemplating or considering degree. Would you consider art therapy?
Yeah, that's what I've been looking into it loads, like reading up how you get into it and all that kind of stuff. And the more I look at it, the more I feel like that's something I'd like to do. Yeah,
that can cover so many bases.
Yeah, and it feels like that's what I, you know, when you can just see yourself doing something. I just feel like that would, it's something I care about. There's loads of different thing ways I could work with people, especially when it comes to like, I would find it really interesting going into maybe people that are experiencing psychosis, because I know what it's like to be there.
Yeah.
And I remember the only times in hospital when I was like, when I have positive memories were with art therapists.
Yeah.
Like, were with the people that were, you know, bringing something else to the table, so I wasn't like stuck in this like scary, you know, other universe in my head. And when they'd come along and they'd say, oh, paint this leaf or something like that, it was it took me out of it for a short moment.
Wow. So it's as if you was in your own little room, pretty much bouncing off the walls, and then they open a fucking window for you, you know, to give you you out.
It was, I mean, I can remember, like, we'd go in with about, there'd be about two or three of us, probably so they could keep it under control, you know. Because the part of the hospital I was in, it was kind of like the real nutters.
Yeah, you was one of the hardcore cranks.
Pretty much. And it was like a lot of, you know, nothing really made sense to anyone. So, yeah, when I was in there, it was just, I have such nice memories of the people that I was with and the staff, and those were the type. I think my memories in the hospital were either like really bad, like traumatic stuff that was really scary, or it was in the art therapy room, or making like a bowl or something like that. And yeah, those moments were literally just like a break from the psychosis, like for a tiny amount of time. Well, what felt it was probably a fair amount of time, like an hour or two. Just being able to do that was,
But then putting those steps into place that they sort of gave you, then that took you onto the crochet, which has pretty much kept you stable. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I'd say so. All those things. It's funny because before I went into hospital, I did like loads of drawing and was pretty into art. But I think it was hard because then where I was getting unwell, it was hard to see the point in which I was just being creative. And then there's like a bit where it tips over and becomes unwell.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, I think people were a bit scared about me getting back into that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when I came out, I think people were a bit like, oh, keep her away from what she was doing because it might push her back, you know, for the edge.
Have you looked at how people are using at least wool in art? Or just
a little bit. I sort of go through things on my phone and there's a few people where I think, wow, like it's amazing what they've done, where they will literally like take yarn and like crochet an entire painting, and that it looks amazing, but I just don't think it's something that I feel that I'd love doing. Like I could just see it already. The thing for me is when it comes to crochet, I like making clothes, like I like making clothing and designing that kind of stuff. But then I also don't like, I don't like all the stuff that comes with it. So it's just a weird position to be in at the moment, because I feel a bit, I don't know, I feel good about where I'm going, but it's weird to have thought, oh, this crochet thing was it for me, and then being like, hang on.
You're creating. What type of art is it that you're about to create or you'd like to create? Is it abstract? Is it figurative? Is it what?
I think for me, it's, I guess I'm not taking it that very seriously, so I'm not thinking about it that much, but I am. So it's more like, I always love writing and telling a story. And I feel like that's what I'm doing when I sit down and like draw out these scenes. Like, it's almost, I think for this, what I'm doing now, it has become making sense and remembering that period of time that felt like absolute chaos. And it's actually helped me quite a lot with it.
Yeah.
As much as I process a lot of it, there's bits where I'm like, oh, I completely forgot that.
Yeah.
And it almost is like, no wonder I got unwell. Because I'm finding all these little things that were happening along the way, and I'm kind of just painting out things that maybe aren't obviously, like, it's not obvious. I don't want it to be obvious in the work necessarily, and I don't want it to be like really dark. It's kind of like really happy.
Yeah.
But just reading, and every time, I don't know, it's just, I feel like I'm almost drawing people that I was around and all that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah,
so is it definitely the art that you want to go down?
I think at the moment I'm trying to just, like, when I get up, I just feel like I just do what I want to do, because I've got the opportunity to, I guess. I think once it gets sort of a certain point, I am going to have to be like, right, okay, what do I actually want? But at the moment, I think, I mean, I am loving doing the art stuff at the moment. Like, I love drawing now, it all out.
Is it coming across to you as a bit of art therapy yourself? Or is it more the basis of teaching yourself the foundations of art therapy? So are you using
That's a good question.
Are you using the art to help your mind, or help you to help other people's minds?
I'd say at the moment, now you've said that, that's such a good question, but it's more for me, and I'm trying to figure out.
That's not a bad thing, is it?
No, I mean, it's great, because I think that I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm like, okay, am I okay with how I am now?
Yeah.
And am I okay with all this? And, you know, because I don't want to go to do something and then be like, hang on, I've got all this stuff in my head that I still am scared of. I feel like I need to just, you know, figure it out. And it feels like I am when I'm doing it, because there's certain parts where I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about that, it's embarrassing, where I'm now like, oh no, that's fine. So yeah, I think I'd say at the moment it's more, this whole thing is for me to, I don't know, get on to the next step of my life, I guess. But I just feel like I need to do this first.
Yeah.
And I, yeah. Yeah.
Well, seeing as this is recording, why don't we just turn it into an art podcast? You fancy it?
Yeah.
So I've got 7 questions that I ask each artist. How would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
I'd say that it is, I think, telling a story that is maybe uncomfortable and making sense of that, if that makes any sense.
And is that in your art or your crochet?
That's in my art, yeah.
Now, as we've just been speaking, would you want to keep that bit in that we've just spoke about anyway?
Yeah, I don't mind. I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm happy to keep anything in, yeah.
Right, well, we've just been speaking about using your art as therapy.
Yeah.
Possibly going into art therapy. And you're also quite a big name online in the crochet world. A lot of followers. And we were speaking just now about bringing crochet into art, something that you're not sure whether you want to do. However, that's the main bulk of your followers.
Yeah.
And then you just mentioned something to me about you like reading, writing. Could you use crochet as text? People like Robert Montgomery, Tracy Emin, Mark Titchener, all well known for their text. And just thinking how you can keep all of your followers and bring them with you into your art world.
Yeah. I think, speaking to you now, that seems like almost the perfect way to go forward with everything. I think at times I've been scared because of, I've always put myself in a box when it comes to crochet of, I make clothing, here's how I do it. And now I kind of want to branch out. I think it, part of me is scared, you know, to bring that in. And I'm like, can I do it? Even though when I first like started making clothing, I didn't think I'd be able to do it.
Yeah.
So it's making that step. And I think that would be like an exciting thing to try out.
I mean, Instagram, you're down as a designer and you know the sort of art you want to create and you already design crochet knitwear. It feels to me, bearing in mind, I'm not sort of trying to, you know, tell you what to do or influence you or push you in any direction because, you know, you're doing it for you. But it feels to me that you should, that it would be a good idea rather to combine the two worlds. That's why I thought of text as soon as you said about writing.
Yeah.
And I have no idea about crochet whatsoever, whether it's even feasible or possible or what have you.
You could definitely do something with it. Like, now you're mentioning it, yeah, there's things I could do. I think it's about getting that confidence. I spoke to you before, there's always like this little part of me that's like, it's going to turn out badly, don't bother. Although I would say I do push through it, because otherwise, like, I'd get nothing done if I listened to that part of me all the time. But
the difference being, if it's just a line of text that is poetic enough or profound enough, or, you know, whatever that line of text is, if it can appeal to a majority of your already followers and appeal to a majority of the arty people that you want to include and sort of step into their world a little bit, if you can find a bit of that middle ground, you're going to be pleasing to lots of people.
Yeah.
There's going to be something quite fresh coming into the art world of crafts can easily, you know, get thrown into the art world. I don't see much of a barrier between the two myself anyway.
I think it would be nice as well, because there's that thing of like crafts being a bit naff. Do you know what I mean? Like, people can be a bit like, oh, it's just a bit of craft.
Yeah, I don't go with that personally, but I know.
That's what I love about, like, you know, whenever I listen to you, never think that. And that's, I think, something that has actually helped me to be like, hang on. And ever since you've said that, now I actually have an idea.
There you go.
Of what I'm doing, of how to put that text in. Remember, I was talking to you before about how I went to a crochet retreat and Chris came with me and learn a little bit of crochet.
Yeah.
We actually crocheted these like name badges when we were there.
Brilliant.
And to be honest, I wasn't pleased with how mine turned out, but I would love to try it again, you know, with my own materials. And I can even like see the yarn I'd use now and imagine how it'll look. Yeah, so I've done it before. I just now need to go back on it and figure out how I can make it me. I mean,
if Lucy Sparrow can do it with felt, you can do it with fucking crochet, you know?
And I think, like, this is what's so great about talking to you. I mean, now I'm actually like, oh my God, I can do this. And it's exciting. I think, like, I can kind of see in my head now this idea of adding it almost around it. And I, like I said, I don't know how big it's going to be, and I could go huge with it. So it would be interesting to build on it as I go, almost. You know what I mean? As like a starting point, I think I like that idea of even putting the two together and seeing what happens. Because this is kind of an experiment right now, and that's what's so good about it. Like, I think in the past I'd think, oh, I need this like final idea and I have to have that done. But now I'm like, no, I can go along. Like, I can just add or take away as I go, and that's what's making me excited, I think, to do
Brilliant.
It.
Brilliant. I know that me and you have already spoke about this, but when was your first interest in art?
I just always remember, like, being into it, I think. My mum always drew. She was always drawing. I could always remember when the Spice Girls were, like, around, and she drew, like, the Spice Girls for us, like, the, like, Viva Forever video. I was always into it. Like, yeah, like, I just don't remember not doing it. And then I would say that GCSE art ruined art for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the teacher I had, like, there was two art teachers, and one I absolutely loved, and he was amazing. And if I'd have been in his class, I think I'd have been happy.
Yeah.
But the teacher I had, she just criticised everything I did. I mean, it probably was a bit inappropriate, some of the stuff I was wanted to do. Like, I remember, like, there was this piece that I wanted to do about prostitution, and I'm looking now and thinking maybe she was like, okay, you're 15, don't bring that into the classroom. But I was like, it's a good idea, like, this, I was interested in it, and I'd, like, done research and wanted to do this, like, final piece on that. And yeah, she weren't having none of it, and she was like, and I think it wasn't even that she was not, like, kindly said maybe don't do this, this isn't the place. She was just, like, really dismissive, like, there's something wrong with you. But yeah, I think that's what put me off briefly.
So you're well known in as a designer online. You've told me already, but could you tell us again how you got into crochet and the path that took you there?
Yeah, so I came out of hospital in 2017 after I'd been sectioned with psychosis, and I was kind of just walking around the town I used to live in, which was where, in Hertfordshire, and a new yarn shop had opened up, and I kind of walked in there, got to know the owner. I think it was kind of like the first time I'd gone out and spoken to someone, like, and the best part of it is she didn't know anything about what had happened to me.
Yeah.
So it kind of gave me that break from, like, oh, everyone knew me in the town as, like, the girl who had gone mad. And that was literally how I was seen. But when I went in there, it was kind of like, oh, she doesn't know me. Then she mentioned crochet lessons. And I don't even know what made me think, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Because I didn't really know that much about crochet, but I spoke to my partner Chris about it, and he was like, oh, well, it's your birthday, let's get these lessons for your birthday. So desperate for me to do something that would take me away from, like, how depressed I was at that point.
Yeah.
I remember being really, like, freaked out when I was in the room, and I was on, like, all this medication, and, like, was really shaky. So everyone was like, don't be nervous. And I was thinking, I'm not nervous, I'm just, like, very medicated. I couldn't say anything. So I just spent, like, it was like a 2.5 hour course over the space of, like, 6 weeks, I think. And I was honestly the worst in the, well, there was one woman that was a bit worse than me. And it was me. And we were, like, just seen as, like, not very good by the others. The others were, like, picking it up, and we were like, ugh. But luckily the teacher was great, and she was really patient and just, like, guided me through and gave me the confidence, I think, to carry on with it. And I started for about a year. I was just doing, like, really basic stitches, and every time I spoke about it to someone, they'd be like, is that all you can do? You know, like, anyone that could do it. And I was like, I thought I was good.
Excellent.
That's how I got into it. Just little lessons. When I went online and spoke to people about crochet, it gave me, like, the confidence to talk about myself, but also gave me something that if I felt like it was too much, like, thinking about, like, the mental illness stuff that I'd been dealing with, it felt like I could go back to that crochet and be like, right, let's just focus on that. I don't need to think about, you know.
And how much do you think that crochet designing has helped your mental health?
I honestly don't like to think where I'd be without it. It was the thing that I became obsessed with, and it was, like, a healthy obsession for the first time. I mean, I used to really struggle with, like, drinking, and I think I'd have continued, because now if I feel like, oh, I want to go and, you know, drink or do something that's not gonna be good for me, I just, you know, I can go and pick up a crochet project and it just takes me out of that.
Which piece that you've created has got the strongest emotional connection?
I think there is one piece of clothing that I made that I feel like when I look at it, it just makes me think of like everything that I've been through in the last sort of, in the last sort of few years, because I look at it and I remember when I first started it, I did it all wrong. I made all the squares the wrong size. I did all the wrong stitches. I moaned about it the entire time I was doing it. I was like, this is boring. And I'm like, how did I get through it? But I look at that and I think I got through that and I moaned and I found it hard at times, but there was something keeping me going. And yeah, I guess when I look at that cardigan, I just think, I did it.
The bigger hill you climb, the more accomplishment it is to reach the top, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. What do you do to relax?
I think that I also started doing gardening, which definitely helps me relax a little bit as well, because it's like, I think sometimes I'm somebody that's got loads of energy anyway, so I need something. and I love gardening, like it really, I think that inspires what I'm doing as well, like the colour and yeah, so crochet and gardening are the two things.
So do you reckon there's a little bit of ADHD in there somewhere as well?
Yeah, maybe, like I definitely
take your pick. Right, Stevie, if there was you and five other artists, past and present, what would your ideal group show be?
I've been, like, looking at a lot of Brian Charley's work.
Yeah.
And I think that's somebody where I just find it, like, sort of, it's really sad how, you know, like, the painting he did didn't almost save him in the end, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I love looking at it, and I think I see, whenever I look at his work, I think of things that I've experienced by that. So that's somebody. An artist that I absolutely love is Unskilled Worker.
She's brilliant, isn't she?
I absolutely love her. I think it's just, like, I'm actually getting goosebumps just thinking about that work right now. It's amazing, and that's so, yeah. Just love it.
This is so cool as well.
Yeah, I've listened to that episode that you did with her so many times. Like, I'm absolutely obsessed with her work. I love Grayson Perry. I feel like it changes over time, though.
Of course, it will change if I ask you tomorrow.
I've got one more. Henry Darga or Darja. I don't know how people say his name differently. I find his work really interesting.
What do you like about it?
It takes you to another world. It is just so, like, I think people focus on, like, the really violent ones. I love the colour. And I love that it was just done for him.
Yeah.
That's what, like, I think is so amazing. I think that it was just done for him. And, yeah, that's somebody else, when I look at his work, I just feel like, oh, my.
Nice. That's amazing. No, that's cool. You are the only ex-psychotic crochet queen that I've met.
What a title. Like.
At the moment, that's your crown. Little crocheted crown.
I should make one.
But I think that's a crown that you should own and wear. You can't leave your story behind going into the art world.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I need to keep it. And when I am doing what I'm doing now, that doesn't leave, like, that's constantly there.
It's especially you. It's you. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
You can't try and sell something that isn't you. You can't. It's pointless trying to make a new you. You've spent your fucking life making the one you've got.
Yeah, that's so true. And yeah, I think it's exciting to think. I mean, this is what's so great about talking to you. It's always like, I come out like, yeah.
But that's the thing to do. Why not use the tools you've got?
Because I think as well, I've been for a while, I've been sitting back and thinking, is this right? And the fact that there's that little bit in the back of my head asking that question, I think I need to listen to, you know, and be like, how can I bring this in? Because yeah, like now we're talking, I can't leave that out. I can't not.
Well, the thing is, now if you're making new ground or treading on new ground, you can't do anything wrong because there's nothing to fucking lean it up against to say it's right or wrong.
I think that's the great part of it. Like,
yeah. I mean, in the followers that you've got, there are going to be many who are going to go, well, I don't like what she's doing here because crochet should be a craft. You know, she's taking it out of our world. There are going to be people like that, but that's in whatever world you're in because, you know, if people are so strongly into one subject, they don't want it to be oozing into someone else's world. You know, they want to keep it where they think it should be. But yeah, you got to spread the fucking tentacles of this thing that you're so good at.
Yeah, I definitely need to. I think as well, I worry that, I don't know, there's like that part of me that's, I think it is like, because craft can be seen as a bit of a like, oh, it's rubbish, that I'm worried that if I add these bits to it.
Yeah, but how many of the 14,000 followers you've got think that?
Yeah, they'd be loving it. They'd want to see it. They'd be so happy to see that, like, someone was...
Sorry, what you will be doing, the ones that in the art world who have got that bit of a fucking snobby attitude, when you're giving them something that they like, they're going to go, well, hold on a minute, how can I keep saying crochet shit when I like so-and-so? You know, how can I think fuzzy felt is shit when Lucy Sparrow is just fucking sold out a show every day for 3 or 4 weeks in the West End, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I just...
You can't knock it.
I just need to go for it. Yeah, you can't. And, you know, it is a skill, isn't it? It's something that I am proud that I can do it. You know, And when people have said to me, oh, Roger, what a load of rubbish, I'm always like, okay, whatever, like, say what you want. But, yeah, I think
the juxtapositions of the stereotypical tweeness that people see of crochet, I think that is also the strong point. You could say, yeah, this is twee, but look what I can agree, do with it. You know, put it on a bit of fucking rusty corrugated iron, for instance. You know, it's this fucking gnarly industrial stuff with a bit of what some people might think of, you know, what your granny would do on a Sunday afternoon. All of a sudden you're going, well, it ain't fucking to it. It's a bit punk.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I think that's what makes me so happy when I make things, because I always think that I when I am painting these things and coming up with these pictures and thinking of all the stories and the things that have happened in my life, I feel like I like making them look all lovely and pretty. And I've always liked, you know, like, even how I dress, I it's all very like, oh, lovely, happy, beautiful. And then if you really listen to the story, I mean, it's intense, you know. Yeah. There's some really bad bits, but I think like having them almost hidden is what I love doing, like hiding that stuff amongst it, like, so people aren't really going to know. They'll just think, oh, look at that, very nice.
And it's only those that are interested, have got that bit of, you know, creative mind to take that step forward and go, fucking hell, this ain't just crochet, this is a bit punk, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I would love to do, you know, just make it, even if it's just a few people that stop and think, wow, this is like, what is this? What does this come from? And then it would make me happy to, you know, share a little bit of it. I don't think I'd have to go the whole way in, but like, you know, let people know what is behind that. Yeah. And yeah, and also I think it brings people that would never look at that kind of stuff. Like when I see some of the people that follow me, I get a lot of people say, oh, I never knew what psychosis was, or I had like an idea of what someone would be like. And I love that people might make an assumption and then they're like, oh, hang on, like not everyone is the same. And yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of people would think that crochet and working with wool would be the ideal thing to help with psychosis because soft textures, beautiful colours. It's just oozing joy and pleasure, isn't it, you know? Yeah. All right, you've got a sharp object as well, which you could possibly do without. There's a definite process. If you don't follow that process, it doesn't fucking work, you know?
Yeah.
And if you throw that into a world where it's a bit chaotic, then, yeah, only good can come out of that, can't it?
Yeah.
You'll end up getting fucking sectioned again, one of the two.
Brilliant.
What would you do if you wasn't a designer?
Like I've said before, I think I'd love to go down the art therapy route, you know. That's where I want to be, I think. Actually, I think no matter what happens, that's where I'd like to go. That's where I can see myself in the future, I think.
If you go down the line of being an art therapist, you will have visual proof behind you that it works.
Yeah, definitely. Beautiful. I think that's what I would really, when I think about, you know, the main thing that has got me through, that's been it. You know, it's been painting, drawing, crochet, all these things are, and without those, I would never have been able to talk to a therapist, because I wouldn't have been in, like, you know, I wouldn't have had something to turn to.
Yeah.
When things were tough. So yeah, I believe in it so much as well. That's why I want to do it, just because I really believe in it.
Well, this is the first podcast that I've done with someone who's not yet an artist, or at least doesn't see themselves.
Yeah.
So that's quite exciting on its own. Someone who's about to step into the art world.
Yeah, and you know what? I really have to thank you, because without the conversations we've had, I feel like I'd still be sort of tiptoeing around and being like, oh.
That's lovely. I'll send you the bill at the end of this anyway. There is an hourly rate. The clock has been ticking.
I'm not, because I'm in trouble.
Next. All right, well, Stevie, that's all my questions asked.
Yeah, that's all right. I've loved it.
I'll speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye, darling. Bye-bye. There we are, Stevie Georgina, Stevie by the sea. And isn't the power of creativity an absolutely beautiful thing? And I'm sure you'll all join me in wishing Stevie all the best in her new journey of creativity. It's quite reminiscent of Ben Wakeling's story from episode 126, if you haven't already heard it. And I think I should mention that if anything Stevie has spoken of has affected you negatively in any way, there's plenty of great people and organisations out there who are experts in just listening. And if searching for them is a little overwhelming, just drop us a line here at Ministry of Arts, because we've got several friends who work for and with many of those organisations. Well, that's about it for this week. If I remember rightly, next week's episode should be architect Madeline Kessler, who created the British Pavilion at this year's Venice Biennale. Pretty cool, right? But until then, toodle-pip. Well, hope you enjoyed that episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. If you're unable to support us on Patreon, leaving a review on whichever platform you listen to this podcast really does help us get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast, or even giving us a positive shout out on your social media. Anything is appreciated, but either way, thanks for listening, and until next week, ta-da.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.